There is one, let's go ahead and begin. There is one sentence that I'm going to suggest to you summarizes for us what Christmas is all about. And I want to just, in way of reminder, read this sentence and have it remind us of what we're remembering and what we're celebrating during this season. And we get this sentence from John. There are four writers who tell us about the story of Jesus. Matthew tells us, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then anybody help me out, who's the fourth one? John write for us and give us information about the life of Jesus. John, in his opening verses, gives us the Christmas story. Unlike, I bet, many of us have ever heard before. But let's go into John. We're in John 1, 16, I believe. And do we have that? Do we have that verse? Let's read this together. This is the one sentence about, summarizes Christmas. I mean, just, I can't read the whole book, but just give me the cliff notes here. This is what Christmas, what we're celebrating. Let's read it together. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. This is definitely the second service. Let's try to read it again. From his fullness, we have all received grace. Can anybody use some grace? Do you know what grace is? Have you ever been pulled over by a police officer and been allowed to go free? Grace. I could use some grace. From his fullness, from Christ's fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Let's go to another translation here, see if we can get some more understanding. This New Living Translation says, read it with me if you would, if it's up there. From his abundance, we have all received one what? Gracious. One blessing after another blessing after another blessing. And let's go to just try another translation. It says, from him, this is a New Century Version, says, from him we all received what? One gift after another gift. We're remembering what Christmas is all about. Christianity is primarily about what God wants to give and restore to you. It's not primarily about what God wants to get from you. It's about what he wants to give to you. One gift after another gift, after another gracious blessing, after another blessing, grace upon grace, gift after gift. Well, I hope you're thinking with me, what are those gifts? And again, this is just in way of reminder during the Christmas season, what are those gifts? Well, let's take that one sentence we just read and let's put it back in the paragraph from which I took it from, the context, and we're going to read the opening line of John's gospel together. Now, we normally, I'm warning you right now, because you have to engage yourself, we normally do not read this much scripture at a time. We're going to read three whole paragraphs. Wow. Together, okay? And you're going to see this sentence. It's inserted in there, grace upon grace. And John is going to give us some clues of the gifts that come from Christ. There are at least five of them in these three paragraphs. I'm going to challenge you right now, see if you can identify all five as we read through them. Are you ready? You got it? I'm seeing some deer in headlights. You got it? You're going to try to identify the five gifts that, according to John, that Christ is to us. Let's read the Christmas story according to John. Here we are, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now, not all of you, we're all participating, right? You got it? This isn't the way I remember the Christmas story. Well, this is according to John. This is how the Christmas story begins. In the beginning was the Word. Well, what's the Word? We're going to find out. The Word was with God, the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God. Okay. All things, verse 3, let's read together. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You're not a self-made man or woman. No one in here. Congratulations, all the things you've done. We're just remembering. Anything that's been made. Everything that's been made came into being and was made through Him, according to John. Now, you can disagree. We're just reading John's testimony and witness. In Him, now we're in verse 4. Let's keep going together. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness just cannot overcome or does not overcome the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. Do you know it's possible to not know what you can know? He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. Let's get a little more specific now in verse 11. Let's keep going. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all, now we're going to turn a corner, but to all who did what receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they were born of what? Have you been born of God? I'm not talking about a physical birth. I'm not talking about you saying, yeah, my great-grandpa was a pastor. It's not your bloodline. It's not because your father or mother served the Lord. It's you. It's not the will of the flesh, nor of anybody else's will, but those who believed in the Son of God. To them, He gives the right to become children born of God, according to John. We may disagree, but according to John, this is what he said. He comes to people, and to as many as receive Him, who believe in Him, He gives the right, the authority, to become children of God. Born of God. And verse 14, and the Word, this is the last, I told you to bear with me, this is the last little part. This is the Christmas, this is what was happening with Mary and Joseph right here, according to John. Remember the Word? In the beginning was the what? The Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now look at verse 14, and the Word became what? This Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. For from His fullness, here's that sentence, from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through, that's the first time we see His name. He was called the Word earlier, but now grace and truth have come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known. Wow. And so John's witness to Jesus' life begins in those first 18 verses. Did you write down some things? Did you discover some things? I told you to look at least five gifts that are from Christ that He, just in way of reminder, but for some of this might be brand new, that Christ is. The first thought is that Christ is the gift of life. Life. Consider verse 4. Again, let's back up and If it's up there, I want you to read it with me. It says, in him was what? Let's try it again. In him was what? Let's try it again. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, of humanity. In him is life. There was a time when Jesus stood up and he said these words. He said, I came to give life. I want you to consider the words. I came to give life, life in all its what? Life in all its fullness. Another translation of that verse, this is from the King James Version, had Jesus saying this, I have come that you may have what? Come on. I have come that you may have life, and that you may have life, what? To a degree that you could not experience otherwise unless I came. I have come, now I'm just reminding many of us here, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. Now, let's just put pause just right here for just a second. I want to insert something here. I want you to think about something. If we take Jesus and his words, not just his life, but his words and his followers seriously, then there are some of us here who have not really yet experienced life. I mean, yes, you're alive, but here's a person that's coming and saying, and John's saying, in him was life, and this life is the light of humanity. He said, I've come that you may have, that you may have life. So, yes, you've got a career. Yes, you go to work. Yes, you have kids. What are you talking about? I don't have life. You're not living. If you're outside of Christ, you're not living life to its fullest potential. Here's the thought, insight in your notes. To whatever degree, just suggesting, to whatever degree that you are experiencing life right now, it can always get better in Christ. How can you say that? Because he's life. He is the life. There is always pregnant within our circumstance or situation or our life, to whatever degree we're living it, there's always the potential because of Christ, because of the gift of God in Christ, for there to be a turnaround. You often hear me say this, I'm going to say it again right now, what has always been does not have to always be. Why? Because life came to the world in the person of Christ. Life, energizing life, life that helps me reach a higher level than where I am right now, life that that fills up that that dissatisfaction. Some of us in here are, if you are honest about your life, you're living with a perpetual dissatisfaction, an underlying almost gloom or a hopelessness or discouragement, or just, you know, I'm going around this mountain again. I'm living the same year. It's like Groundhog Year. I mean, it's just like over and over again. And yet, here comes life in the gift of Christ. Have you ever seen the T-shirts that are like blank is life? You know, like soccer is life. Looking around here. No, you never seen those? Seriously? Get out some. Basketball is life. Running, God help you, running is life and whatever. On and on, blank is life. Football is life. Well, when football is life, what happens when your team is the Washington Redskins? And the Dallas Cowboys go on a winning streak. And your starting quarterback breaks his leg. And then your second string quarterback breaks his leg. Have you ever heard of Misery Monday? I'm looking for hands now. Misery Monday. For those who aren't football fans, let me explain to you what misery, everyone say misery. Misery Monday is the Monday after a Redskins loss. We've had a lot of misery Mondays. What is my life? What are you saying, Pastor Charlie? I'm saying that anything, I'm suggesting to you, that anything and anyone is a poor substitute for authentic life, pulsating, get up off the floor life that's in Christ. Christ, who is life. I want to ask you two questions. Number one, honestly, I want you to be honest with me. What would you put on your life's t-shirt? Blank is life. Music? Music is life. Don't raise your hands for this one, but NASCAR. Camping, fishing, traveling. I just barely hang on until the next vacation. I'm already planning. If I just hang on and I get there, I'll get my life. My strength, my career. My career is my life. I'm so passionate, by the way. It's a wonderful thing to be giving yourself to something that matters. There's a purpose in my career. I'm working. That's a wonderful thing. But I just want to remind all of us, including Pastor Charlie, that the career, sooner or later, doesn't matter which one it is going to let you down. In fact, all of our careers will someday come to an end. What would you put in my life? I know it's my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my husband, my wife. Now, if that's you, there are people I could sit you down in front of and they would look you in the eye and tell, all it takes is one good gut-wrenching breakup. And they'll tell you, they'll witness to you, if you'll listen to them, that that's not life. It's not the source of life. In fact, if you've gone through that, it can suck the very life right out of your soul. Maybe you say, well, I know what mine is. My life is my family. Family's life. And sir, ma'am, I want to say to you, that is a wonderful, family is very wonderful. Kids. Wonderful. But a poor substitute for the life that's in Christ. In fact, the life is the one that helps us breathe life into our families and into everything else. Second question I want to just have you think about is this, and we'll all be here one day. You might be here now, is when life sucker punches you. You know, you're doing your thing. You know, it's Christmas 2018, or whatever it is. And out of nowhere, life is interrupted with unexpected, loss, heartache, hurt, death, sickness, unexpected. Something zaps your strength, knocks you down. I want to ask you a question. Who's going to hold you up? What strength, and I'm serious about this, what strength is going to sustain you when you're just like, I got to be honest, I don't have anything to keep going. I just feel weak. What presence, I might say what person is going to get you up off the floor again, help you square your shoulders, and head back to work for another day and say, I'm going to make it. I believe things are going to turn around. What presence is going to do that? Jesus, even at a funeral, taught that the life, that he imparts, even death can't keep that life down. Why? Because he is the life. Even death can't keep the life, eternal life, down. And so Jesus stands up and looks at everybody, even at a funeral, and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. What's he saying? I am the get up again life. If you're here and you're like, man, I don't know if I can get up again. I don't know if I can keep going. Listen, there is life and there is get up again strength and power in the name of Jesus. Again, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he dies, he will live again. And he who lives and believes in me will never die. Think about the gift. Remember again the gift of God in Christ. Undeniable, unrelenting strength and life that picks me up even when I'm in my weakest moment. There's life in Christ and in his name. So, life, well, I hear some of us, I wish I could just stop and teach. Pastor, I hear you. How do I even believe that. I want to believe that. How does that happen? How does that life enter into my life? Oh, that's great. That's great. We'll talk about it in just a moment. Not only is he life, but according to John, he's also the gift of light. Light. Jesus is the gift of illumination. When he comes into a life, a soul, a mind, it's like coming into a room and just like all of a sudden the lights are being turned on and I can see. Listen, the gift of being able to see. That's why the scripture talks so much about blind eyes being open. When you really come to Christ, it's just that miraculous. I'm seeing things differently. My world looks different. I don't see circumstances the same way my coworker does. It's like the Lord's changed, flipped things up, turned things upside down, really the right side up in him, light. Look at verse 4 again. In him was, read with me, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. Now here we are, verse 5. The light, what? Shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, say true light. True light. Come on, say it again. The true light, which gives light to church people. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't say that. I'm sorry. The true light, which gives light to, now hold on, to who? The true light. Whether we acknowledge him as the source of it or not, if it's light from him. The true light which gives light to everyone, finish with me, was coming into the world. True light. Could that mean that there is false lights? The true light shines in the darkness and dispels the darkness. I wonder if we're not careful, there could be false lights. False lights do not have the ability or the power to dispel darkness. In fact, darkness can remain where there's a false light. Wow, we're gonna step off the deep end a little bit, and then we'll come back up for air, okay? Just hang with me. This is getting, whoa, true light. The true light shines in the darkness, dispels the darkness. What's an example of that, this light, maybe the false light? There's a story told of the Pharisees who were the religious leaders, educated, smart people, don't respected people in the first century. And they caught a woman in adultery. You've probably heard the story before. They picked her up and dragged her to Jesus. And they cast her down in front of Jesus. And they surrounded Jesus. And she was there in the middle. And they were wanting to test Jesus. They weren't really looking for information. They weren't honestly looking for information. I want you to hear that. Because Jesus is always concerned with the intent of our heart. Some of us in here, you may be coming to church, but you're not honestly seeking after God. So I say this with kindness in my heart. Don't expect to receive too much then. It's not about the clothes you wear and all this stuff. It's about the intent of your heart. Lord, I'm here. And if you're sincere and honest, saying, Lord, I need you. You're my help. Or would you help me? Listen. Oh, he'll help. Oh, he'll help. But they came to him, wanting to test him. Said, Jesus, the law of Moses says that a woman who's caught in adultery should be stoned. What do you say? And Jesus didn't answer. And the scripture says they kept asking him, the law of Moses, Jesus, rabbi, teacher, you teach the Bible, don't you? Says that this woman who's caught in adultery should be stoned. Come on, give us an answer. Finally, Jesus stands up and looks at them each in the eye. You see it, just not in a hurry too much, just looking them in the eye. And he said, the one among you who is without sin, throw the first stone. And John, who was witnessing and records this for us, says that the oldest, starting with the oldest, put down the rock and walked away. And then all the way down to the youngest one, who are most fired up and just think they have all the answers, puts down the stone and leaves, and no one's there left except the woman. And Jesus reaches down and lifts her head up and looks at her and says, where are those who condemned you? And she looks around and says, there's no one, Lord. And then John tells us Jesus' next words, and he said, neither do I condemn you. I mean, the one who really could, right? Neither do I condemn you. Come on. What do you say? I want you to go and leave your life of sin. But I don't condemn you. I want you to get up. And then the very next, many of us stop right there. We put a period, stop reading. You know the very next thing Jesus says? Again, Jesus turned to them. Who's the them? The Pharisees that shrunk away. The religious leaders. The ones who thought they were lights. Are you hearing me? I know we're going to, the ones who thought they were walking in the light. They were doing what's right. Then Jesus again said to them, I am the light of the world. Those who follow me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of what? Of life. Those who follow me. Now I want you to see this. Light is happening in that little story. What are you talking about, Pastor? The pure, gentle healing. There it is. Comforting light was shining on this woman. Not condemnation, just gentle healing light, breathing hope. Listen, breathing hope in her. Get up. You can get up again. And at the same time, this light was dispelling religious darkness. That's why it is so important for a church, here we are hundreds of years later, to stay faithful to Christ. Community church is not the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Listen, there are some of us in here, you're Lord, we now, is church bad? Is church, are you knocking church? No. Church is very important. We come here, but we have to keep the main thing, the main thing. The church is all about connecting us to Christ, bringing us to Christ, introducing us to Christ. We're learning about Christ. We're following him, and he is the light that brings life and light to anyone. Where are you on the spectrum? Because he's the light, listen, for everyone. What's this look like? Just a couple weeks ago, I'm going to tell you a story, and we'll wrap this thing up. I was looking at the church's giving. And, well, why would you do that, Pastor Charlie? Well, giving is an indicator of our value. It's very spiritual. I know it makes you uncomfortable. But when we follow the Lord, it doesn't include just us praying, but we give to him. And so the elders and myself, usually just once a year, we don't obsess over people's giving, but once a year we'll look at it. How is the church family doing spiritually? And this is one of the indicators. And I was going through the giving, and I saw a leader in the church. Everyone say leader. This wasn't a new person or just like an attendee, just coming and going. This is a leader. And I looked at their giving, and the giving was just hardly, just far below what the Christian standard giving would be. When I saw that, the first thing that welled up within me is, I got to be honest, is I felt hurt. A little tinge of, I guess a little bit of anger. I'm like, of all people, you have to know the season we're in. We're doing the big give. We're helping all these people. I'm standing up and saying, hey, let's do the big give. And you're like, you're a leader. Seriously? So, in a great example of my leadership skills, I'm going to tell you what I did. Pulled out my iPhone, and I texted him. And I said, have you stopped... Have you stopped believing in tithing? Seriously? ! There's got to be an explanation. What's going on? Send. Now that's just great leadership, guys. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just confessing. You ever sent something where you're like, oh man, I should have thought about that more. I kid you not, 15 minutes later, wasn't very long later, I'm still going down through the giving, and I come across this name, Jill and Charlie Whitlow. And I look over at our giving for the year, and I realize that Jill and Charlie Whitlow, we had fallen behind in our giving, in our commitment. You say, Pastor Charlie, what's that? Well, we yearly have a commitment to give at the minimum. Most of the times it's over, but at the minimum, 10% to other families, to the church family. So the church can bless, right? Help and bless other people. And here we are, I'm looking at it, and we're a little behind. And immediately when I saw it, a voice came down into my soul. You know what that voice said? If you can fall behind and you're the pastor of the church, how can you get angry with others? Immediately. What was happening right there? I'm giving you an example of true light shining. What's that light? It's illumination, it's direction, it's guidance, it's right thinking. Immediately when Jesus was whispering down in my heart. I did two things. I called Jill, and I said, honey, this is where we are. She said, oh, my goodness. I said, let's catch up immediately. Okay, of course. So I found myself praying. I said, Lord, forgive me. You ready? Lord, forgive me. I have some offerings that don't belong to me. They really belong to you and to others. And I'm going to fix that. Forgive me. And the second thing I said, and Lord, forgive me for being too quick to judge others. What's happening? Look in your notes. The light is insight, clarity, revelation, right thinking. It's not a book. It's not a, I have a degree on the wall. Well, I've got degrees too. Well, I went to this university. Okay, wow. But this is the light that comes from a person. Christ himself. Now, some of us desperately need light in your situation. What are you talking about, light? You need an insight. You need some direction. And that's a gift. It's a gift from God in Christ. Let's bow our heads just at this moment. Next Sunday, we're going to jump into the other gifts. Remind us the other gifts that Christ is to us. Lord, I just pause right now. In someone's life, Lord, I just feel it. They've been hitting up against this wall. They've reached a level. And I'm simply reminding them, Lord, that there is resurrection life. There's overcoming life. There's get up off the floor life, Lord, in you. Lord, for many of us, Lord, we're walking in darkness. We know it. We can try to dress it up. And yet, Lord, in you, there's the gift of illumination. I can see again what matters, what's really important. Dear Lord, would you come and bring life and bring illumination into our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. All of us said, all of us said,